أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا لقوا الذين آمنوا قالوا آمنا، وإذا خلوا إلى شياطينهم قالوا إنا معكم إنما نحن مستهزئون. الله يستهزئ بهم ويمدهم في طغيانهم يعمهون. أولئك الذين اشتروا الضلالة بالهدى فما ربحت تجارتهم وما كانوا مهتدين. صدق الله العظيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعض، الله عز وجل relates in the Quran: وإذا لقوا الذين آمنوا قالوا آمنا. When they meet those who believe, وإذا they say we have entered faith. وإذا خلوا إلى شياطينهم. But when they are alone and with their shayateen, قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ. Indeed we are. They say that indeed we are with you. إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهَزِئُونَ. We were only mocking. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla relates, اللَّهُ يَسْتَهَزِئُ بِهِمْ وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي تُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. Allah mocks them and prolongs them in their transgression while they wander blindly. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُحْتَدِينَ. They have bought error in exchange for guidance, so their trade reaps no benefit or profit, and they are not rightly guided. We finished roughly half of this verse last week, and we were going to finish off, inshallah, this verse, or these three verses that come together this week, inshallah. Here, very simply, just a small catch-up and going really quick in a few minutes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relating to us about the hypocrites, and from the Quran, from Surah Al-Baqarah, there was only literally two verses about the disbelievers. Before that was about the believers, and now Allah azza wa jalla relates about the hypocrites. And we have related many faults or defects in relation to the hypocrites. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also relates one more of these aspects. And within this aspect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here relates, as we said last week, قَالُوا آمَنَّا. So when these hypocrites are with the Muslims, they say آمَنَّا. There's no emphasis. We said this last week. There's no emphasis on this. Meaning when you say آمَنَّا, literally there's no emphasis happening here. But when you say, after this, this is إِنَّا قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ. So when they're with the shayateen, and related this, shayateen here means with the ins and the jinn, the human and the jinn. Because we read in Surah An-Nas, مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. So the shayateen from both, from the insan, and we say this in our language also, that the shaytan jasahe. This person is like the shayateen, you know, like a shaytan. Meaning he calls towards evil, he does evil, and he only gathers evil around him. So in the very same manner, when they go to their shayateen, we also related that they would have these small conferences in a place further far away from the Muslims. قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ. This is emphasis upon emphasis. إِنَّا is already emphasis. مَعَكُمْ is already emphasis. Then إِنَّا مَا, emphasis also. So the emphasis upon emphasis that we're definitely with you. We're not with the Muslims. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then here relates. So they say to them, إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَازِئُونَ. That we are indeed without a shadow of doubt with you. You know, we were just mocking, we're just being with them. You know, we feel like being with them for a while. They've got some gains, they're winning a few wars, so we're with them for a while. But in reality, we're not with them. We're just pretending to be with them. We hear what they say, we take benefit of their spoils of war, and then we come back with you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates here, Allahu yastahzi'u bihim. Allah mocks them. Allah azza wa jal mocks them. And we related that. You can go back to this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we related that, you know, to mock someone is actually impermissible or unpleasant also. So how can this be related with Allah azza wa jal? I mean, related, there's an aspect of balaga in here. There's an aspect of the way in Arabic, classical Arabic, they used to have this way of doing muthakarat, that you say as we say, but it means something else. And I said this, we have this in our language also. Isne mujhe do teen kaha, maine bhi isko do teen keh diya. But that doesn't mean I said exactly what he said to me. Or he said it in a very, you know, nasty manner. But I just said a few more things, meaning I told him off also. But I didn't do it in the same aspect. There's an aspect of muthakilat here, and there's a few other aspects. Now we come to the next video. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates. So the second line, Allahu yastahzi'u bihim. Allah mocks them. And we done this last week. وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي تُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. And he prolongs them in their transgression while they wander blindly. Now, وَيَمُدُّهُمْ comes first, which comes from the root word mim, dal, and dal. And it means to expand the length of something and make it more. So when you make something grow or expand the length of it, that's where it comes from. And this is why in Arabic, in Urdu we also say, I think, mudda. And ik muddatak, right? So mudda is an expansion of time to extent. Right? And this is in Arabic where it comes from, mim dal and dal. Right? So mudda is an expansion of times. And it's also used with other words which will come later in the Quran also. So Allah Azza wa Jalla relates the first thing. وَيَمُدُّهُمْ. And we expand the length of time. That doesn't mean the time will, that doesn't mean it's going to finish. Meaning, it definitely will finish, but you're going to get just a wee bit more time. Right? It's a bit like a rubber band. It's going to go back to its place. Yes, you can flex it, and for that second, it's gone a bit bigger. But it goes back to where it came, or how it was. In the very same way, insan, we expand its time. We give him some wee bit more time. He's going to have 50 years, 70 years. But he's still going to have to go back. This is what Allah is trying to say. وَيَمُدُّهُمْ. And تُغْيَانِهِمْ, the word after it, which is فِي تُغْيَانِهِمْ, in their transgression. And تُغْيَانِهِمْ تَغَى, it's very simple. To go beyond the limits and transgression, this is تُغْيَانِهِمْ. So when somebody goes beyond the limits and they transgress the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are literally transgressing. Here Allah is really trying to relate something to us. Allah is really relating that they are mocked in this world because they confuse the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing, or somebody is, we got wealth and we have health, so we are blessed. Nothing can happen to us. This is not a problem of today, by the way. This has been going on for centuries. Right? To the extent, when it came to the nations that came previously, whether it was Qawme Aad, Qawme Lut, Qawme Thamud, and we will come to all of these, they all had the same aspect. That God loves us. Or we've done something good because we have wealth and we have power. So if we have these things, so it's okay what we do, because we are allowed to do what we want. Even in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Allah azza wa jal also relates, ثُمَّ قَدَّرَ وَقَدَّرَ فَقُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ ثُمَّ قُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ ثُمَّ نَظَرَ ثُمَّ عَبَسَ وَبَسَرَ. He's in narration is Walid ibn Mughira. You know, he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He comes to the Muslims. He frowns. He looks away this way, he looks that way, then he walks away. And then he looks out in disgust. And in another verse, Suratul Qalam, and كَانَ ذَا مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. I have wealth, I have children. You know, in them days, we have children. So obviously, I have wealth now. Something happens to me, my children will, you know, recompense me when I get older. And I have health as well. So I have everything anyway. Right? You know, this... So what the Quran is trying to relate to us is وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي تُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ, that these people are wandering blindly and their life is, you know, yes, it's prolonged, meaning that the wealth is being prolonged. They've been given this wealth 50 years, 60 years. Right? But it's going to go back. You're going to have to go back to Allah Azza wa Jal. So here Allah Azza wa Jal is rating that this notion is got to their head. And you know, we say this all the time. In Suratul Humazah, Allah Azza wa Jalla relates, الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَ يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ. That insan, he thinks that this wealth will give him akhlada. Akhlada literally means, like, you can say in this day and age, invincibility. Meaning, I get ill, I go to the best doctor, I'll go to America. Right? Something happens, I'll go to X, Y, and Z. No need for me, you know, me to stress. I need to go somewhere, I have a plane standing by. Or I have a car standing by. Or I have this standing by. أَخْلَدَ. Meaning, wealth, it'll take me, no problem. Take me to the end. And then Allah just refutes this with one word, kalla. That, you know, in Urdu we say, harghiznahi. That there is no way that this can happen. Then Allah will, layumbadhanna fil khutama. That we will throw him in the fire of khutama. So this is where Allah Azza wa Jal is relating to the munafiqeen specifically, that Allah mocks them and prolongs them with their transgression. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also relates in a few of the verses, أَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّمَا نُمِدُّهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ نُسَارِئُ لَهُمْ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ بَلْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Do they assume that in furnishing them with wealth and with children, we race to give them good things, meaning that they have been given these good things, right? نُسَارِئُ لَهُمْ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ بَلْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. In fact, they have no idea of what is going to come towards them. And then Allah in another verse relates, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. Then when they disregarded what they reminded, meaning when they disregarded the laws of Allah, they were told to do this, read salah, do amr bil ma'roof, you know, give zakah, do surah in our times, right? So when they were told this, the nations before, right? When they were told this and they disregarded it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates, sometimes, فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, that we open for them the gates of all things that would delight, that gave them delight. Meaning we gave them Jannah in this world, to their Jannah, you can kind of say. And then Allah azza wa jalla relates, حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذَنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً. And then we seize them suddenly. Yani pakad, hamari pakadai. We grab them suddenly. And at once, baghtatan fa'idahum mublisoon. And when they saw this, that's it, despair. They knew everything we had, khatam, is gone. And this is the aspect where the mufassirun rahimahullahu ta'ala and relate that a person in this world, for us, it's very, very important to understand. Wealth, children, status. This doesn't mean that Allah loves me. Wealth, status, children. It has nothing to resemblance of the akhirah. This is a ni'mah that Allah gives some and doesn't give some. And we question within this ni'mah. Because if he's talking about wealth, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam literally had no wealth in his whole life. If you talk about children, again, we look in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All he had is Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. And if we look at status, yes, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given a status to the Muslims. But look at the Meccan life, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was frowned upon. And when he went to Madinatul Munawwara, again, the high class of the time, the Yahud, the Jews, and these were classified as the high class in Madinatul Munawwara. They were classified as the peak. They frowned on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all of these aspects, some people get, some people don't get. But this doesn't say that you are going to get Jannah in the Akhirah. It has no definition of this aspect. And this is very, very important in this day and age for us to understand that if Allah blesses wealth, alhamdulillah, but that doesn't mean that Allah loves me, so I'm going to Jannah. If Allah tests me with patience, alhamdulillah. As long as I am in both situations, whether wealth, whether tested with patience, that a person is doing the order and the hukum of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That is the main aspect. And this way, in the hereafter, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala and relates in relation to this verse that the hypocrites, where Allah Azza wa Jalla relates, Allah mocks them and prolongs their life. Abdullah ibn Abbas, the mufassir of the Quran, relates that the hypocrites will reach the outskirts of Jahannam. So not in Jahannam yet. They're still in the outskirts. And they will see one of the doors of paradise on a distance open. Because of this, they will believe that they are entitled to go to paradise. So they will run towards that door. And they will see the people of paradise also looking at them. And it will make their conviction even stronger that this door is for us to go to paradise. So they will run towards this door only to realize that when they have reached the doors, that the doors have become shut, and here they will now feel their hopelessness. Just like in the dunya, they pretend to be Muslims, but in reality they were munafiqeen. And at the time of death they will feel hopelessness. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, now is for the time, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala relates, that's for the time for the Muslims. Allahu yasta, meaning the Muslims are going to be mocking them, that what are you doing? This door wasn't for you. You should have known from what you have done in the dunya that this door is not for you. So here, that's one aspect. And this is why Allah Azza wa Jalla relates in the Quran, فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَقُونَ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ حَدْثُوِبَ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. But on the day, those who believe will laugh at the unbelievers on the day of judgment. On luxurious, and these believers will be on luxurious furnishings, looking on. And the unbelievers, and they will have the unbelievers being repaid for what they used to do, they will say. Barhal, Allah Azza wa Jal here is relating to us. Just like in the dunya, the hypocrites mock the Muslims, it will be also the same in the akhirah. Then Allah Azza wa Jal relates, وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي تُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. And we explain again what وَيَمُدُّ mean. The word يَعْمَهُونَ, they wonder blindly, refers to blind from the heart. Very interestingly, in classical Arabic, Ama is for a blind person. Ama is a blind person, meaning blind from the eyes. And Ain, Ama, yani Ain, Mim, and Ha is used for a blind person through the heart. And a very easy way, and we explained this a few weeks ago, is sometimes, especially the parents here, if you have a teenage son and you're trying to explain to them, you know, do this is good for you, and you've kind of been through the same cycle yourself, and they're not having it, and you in the back of the head know, whatever I say, it's going to go that way. Right? It's going to go that way. And you kind of figured by now, there is no point me even, I've tried my best, it's going to go that way. This is the example, right? So you have this, and you kind of say, he's blind, he's like, he's lost it within himself. Right? There's no way he's going to turn this way. In the very same aspect, Ama is when a person is blinded within the heart. Nothing goes through. Nothing is literally going through. And this is why Allah Azza wa Jal is relating that they cannot see the reality of life, or they neither try to understand the reality of this life. The only thing they see is the dunya. The prestige of the munafiqeen, they see the prestige of the disbelievers, and they see the believers as low and inferior, and this is all they can see. Meaning that nothing can take them out of this situation. And this is why the word ya'mahoon, as related by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala an, he relates that this word used to be related in the classical Arabic for when somebody is playing and then slips. You know, when a person slips, and when he slips in such a way that he falls and he can't get back up. So somebody slips in such a manner that that's it. So for example, they've broken their foot. That's it. He can't get up. There's no way they can get back up. In the very same way, this is the same aspect. That they slipped, and that's it. They're not, the reality of this, the hereafter, is completely gone from them. And Allah Azza wa Jal then relates in the next verse, and we finish off with this verse. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَبُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُحْتَدِينَ. That they have bought error in exchange of guidance, so their trade reaps no profit, and they are not rightly guided. اشْتَرُوا أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا. اشْتَرَوُوا means to buy something with happiness and acknowledgement. When you go to the shop, اشْتَرَى is like buying something. In Arabic, اشْتَرَى, I bought something. So I went to the shop and I bought X, Y, and Z. So obviously when you go to a shop, you buy it with your acknowledgement, right? And to extend happiness as well, right? Depends on what you're buying. But acknowledgement is always there, that you're always acknowledging of what you are buying. And to an extent, most of the things you buy, you're happy with what you are buying. That's why you're buying it. You've had free will and free choice for it. And al-dhalalah, which is the next word, it's to array from the straight path. And it's used in Arabic for the opposite of guidance. So the opposite of guidance is dhalalah. And it's also used for every type of ignorance, whether it is on purpose or whether it's by mistake. Right. So it's used for both. And it is related that there are many ways of misguidance, and you can literally say in archery, guidance is the bullseye. Right? Meaning, guidance is following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything around it, right? Whether you go this way or that way or do this, it's not guidance, it's dhalalah. And sometimes you can slip, but then you go back to guidance. Here, very interesting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates that there are two types, or the Mufassirun rahimahullah related here, there are two ways in arraying from the straight path. Number one is, وَمَنْ يَكْفُرَ بِاللَّهِ, that person that is misguided from Allah and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he goes away from the straight path. So for example, if somebody doesn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the oneness of Allah azza wa jal, they've literally gone away from the straight path. Number two, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَصَدُّوا عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ قَدْ ضَلُّوا ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. They go away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that they do such actions that take them away from that path. And we related this before. Right? There's two things. One is you go away yourself, you do such actions that have taken you away. And this is why Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala relates that error means disbelief, very simply. In this verse, error, al-dhalalah, means disbelief. Meaning those, they have literally bought disbelief in exchange of belief. That's what they've done. They were believing in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they bought disbelief. They changed it. فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ. And obviously there's no profit within that aspect, meaning that they're not going to get anything from it. The word تِجَارَتُهُمْ, which is tijara, is used for obviously business. Shah Abdul Aziz al-Muhaddith Dahlawi rahmatullah alayhi relates here that an aspect to understand this word within this context of the Quran or in this verse is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us within this, in this world. He sent us with limited time, means, and limited means in this world. So we have limited time, and to extent we also have limited means. We were told that this is your treasure, and you need to buy good actions which will help you for the hereafter. The treasure of life, the treasure is life, right? Everybody that has a life is able to buy the hereafter with it. Whether it's from their wealth, whether it's from zikr of Allah, observing the commands of Allah, whether it's from salah, going, you know, many aspects that we can do. But then he relates, life itself is like ice on the ground with sun beating on it. With ice on the ground with the sun beaming on it. Unto which makes the ice melt slowly. And that's what our life is. That it's going away slowly. And if the person buys good deeds before this ice melts or his life goes, then he will find that he will live in peace forever. And if he buys otherwise, then he will also be doomed forever. A very interesting aspect here. Allah Azza wa Jalla relates, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ, that they bought error or misguidance in exchange for guidance. I mean, they were guided. They knew what was right. They could see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to the extent that their trade reaps no benefit, meaning they got some benefit in this world, maybe. But in the akhirah, they got nothing. And they did definitely, after that, once they'd done this, they were not guided anymore. You know, in this aspect, many years ago, when we were children to extent, we heard Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib once in one of his speeches, and he said at the time, it's many years ago, that you left your homelands for a different land, fine, to make better for yourself, to make better for your children, no problem. But he said, do not leave your iman for the pound. This is many years ago he said this. Do not leave your iman for the pound. Meaning, you are able and you know what is right. Most of the people, they do know that I need to pray. Let's just take a few injunctions, like I need to pray. There are some specific aspects that sometimes we might be in doubt and we have to ask. But generally the case is that we know what's right and what's wrong. That's a general aspect. Especially us as Muslims, we need to pray. But has it been so that we have, because we gave preference to the dunya, we forgot the deen? And if this is the case, then what might also happen here? وَمَا كَانُوا مُحْتَفِ Number one is فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ That you will reap no profits, meaning you will make your children, your progeny also in this aspect a problem for them. The deen will go from their lives. وَمَا كَانُوا مُحْتَدِينَ And hidayat will be also taken away from you. Because you were given guidance, you were guided, you were given the most precious gift ever possible. You've turned away from it, so we turned you away also from it. I mean, so that you do not come back onto guidance. And this is why it's important for us as Muslims that we don't sell, you know, any aspect for religion. Religion comes first. It's a priority. And then after that, yes, that doesn't mean, as we've said this plenty of times, it doesn't mean religion has never ever meant that we sit in one corner and do tasbih all day. It hasn't meant that we don't work. It hasn't meant that, you know, our teacher used to always say to those kids that used to leave the madrasa, you know, during the studies or after the hivs. You know, you get many kids that leave after the hivs. You'll get many kids that try the first year, they find it difficult, they find hard to manage within the environment. A lot of people feel homesick. You know, many different challenges happens to people. So it's a way, no problem. Do well in your studies. Become best as you can in whatever you go to. Whether Allah makes you a doctor, whether Allah makes you an engineer, whether Allah makes you something else, whatever you know you're able to do, to your istita'at, to your ability. But so go and try your hardest. But ensure that you practice upon deen whilst doing this. That is very simple. And in this day and age, for us as Muslims living in the West, we have ability to do both very easily. It is a ni'mat of Allah that we have ability to do both. We have ability to, those that are able to study, they have ability to study and go into whatever they desire and whatever profession, as long as it's halal. Right? And at the same time, it's very, very easy to practice Islam in where we live. There's no like, we can't do this, we can't do this. We see many countries now in the world, but you can't do certain things. But we are able to come to the masjid freely. We are able to pray to Allah Azza wa Jal freely. And this is something that we should not just like take for granted. We should do Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. And number two is we should ensure that we do not sell ourselves for our religion. It's very, very important. Because if you do, there will be two nuqsan with it. Two problems will come with it. Number one is your own progeny. And number two is hidayat will be taken away. May Allah give us ability to understand our ability to amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-huda wat tuqa wal afafa wal ghina. Wa salli Allahumma ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin walhamdulillah rabbil alamin.